markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are falling along with European shares after a mixed session in Asia as positive sentiment from a strong day on Wall Street was offset by resurfacing trade tensions. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down almost 16 points. Now Dow futures down 121. NASDAQ futures down 58. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. So is the CAC in Paris. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. Now the yield 1.69%. 2-year 1.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4%. Up 23 cents. $52.76 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $5.40, $15.1490 an ounce. The euro 1.1205 against the dollar. The yen 105.83. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says President Trump called him yesterday because he's anxious to get something done on gun reform. The Kentucky senator says he wants to take action on background checks and red flag bills, but won't be calling senators back early. The U.S. State Department is calling China a thuggish regime for releasing personal information on an American diplomat who met with opposition protesters in Hong Kong. State Department spokeswoman Morgan Ortegas says that's not how a responsible nation would behave. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Red Sox and Giants. NFL preseason action, the Giants beat the Jets. Winners, the Patriots and Ravens, the Redskins lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion. Informed perspectives and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
And it is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. And we're joined live now by Ed Evans, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London Bureau. And Ed, as the Italian government teeters on the brink, we get this from Ferdinando Giuliano this morning. Italy finally faces its moment of truth.
Matteo Salvini's decision to pull the plug on the government was, in a way, one of the easiest choices in modern political history. His right-wing League party's riding high in the polls. Its populist coalition partner, the Five Star Movement, is collapsing. At the same time, the mainstream opposition is fragmented. A new election would almost certainly establish the League as the dominant force in Italy's parliament. But here comes the tough part for Salvini. It would take weeks for Italy's president to decide whether or not to dissolve the parliament and call a vote, and months before a new government is in place. And there are questions then over who would write Italy's 2020 budget, which has to be passed by the end of the year. More importantly, the League leader will also have to decide where he really stands on fundamental questions that he's been able to dodge so far. Things like Italy's economic policy to its place in the Eurozone and the European Union. Before now, he could blame his weak coalition partner, five-star leader Luigi Di Maio, or his technocratic finance minister Giovanni Tria for any difficulties. The easy ride here is over. He's going to have to show his true face on tax and spending.
And of course, we're seeing the reaction in the markets with the yields surging as the bond prices, the sovereigns in Italy fall. On to our next story. As the U.S. holds off on easing the Huawei restrictions, we get this one from David Fickling this morning. The U.S. can play a Huawei chip if China goes along? What's this about?
Yeah, news that the White House is holding off on making a decision on licenses to allow U.S. companies to restart business with Huawei might sound like an escalation in the trade war. In truth, it could actually be a rare shred of good news if both sides approach the next step with a concession in mind. What the U.S. needs right now is not export opportunities for technology companies, but pieces to play in the game of easing international tensions. The prospect of a fundamental trade deal addressing Washington's deep misgivings about China's economic model is remote, but a more limited agreement that gives both sides something to crow about while making little real difference to the status quo was always more likely and remains so. And this is where Huawei comes in. The most obvious way to lower the rapidly increasing temperature would be to strike a deal in which the US offered lenience on Huawei and China and put in some firm commitment if China put in some firm commitments for agricultural purchases. In each case, the government would be presenting as a concession something that it would be reasonably happy to offer anyway.
And another timely story this morning with Boris Johnson hurtling toward Brexit, the UK economy posting the first quarterly contraction since 2012. And Trace Raphael reporting this morning her column, Boris Johnson Love Bombs. The other union, what's that?
This is the United Kingdom, of course. Now, Brexit is pulling the United Kingdom apart. The key thing to remember here is that Scotland, in particular, voted to remain while Johnson is committed to pulling out. Now, it is quite clear now that a no-deal Brexit could lead to the very breakup of the United Kingdom. An opinion poll published this week showed that Scots are, for the first time in 2 years, now in favour of independence from England. Now, one of the first things Boris Johnson did as Prime Minister was to give himself a brand new title, Minister of the Union. Many Scots take that with a deep pinch of salt, and they suspect the move is aimed at appeasing traditionalists and what is still officially, at least, the Conservative and Unionist Party. Either way, he's going to have a hard job on his hand. Unlike Wales, which voted to leave, both Scotland and Northern Ireland voted to remain. They're being dragged out against their will and to their cost. The authorities in Edinburgh say a no-deal Brexit, which Johnson, of course, is threatening, could cost Scotland 100,000 jobs. Now, Leave voters have told voters that they wouldn't care if Scotland and Ireland went independent. They're more interested in Brexit. Conservative voters are even more adamant. 73% have said that losing Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland would be a price worth paying for Brexit. This doesn't mean that Scots are going to be rushing to the door anytime soon. We're still some way from any kind of referendum on that. And many of the questions that came up in the last referendum, how do you defend Scotland? Uh-huh. What's its credit rating? They won't go away. But watch this one as it develops, because there's a real threat here to the UK.
You can't help but watch it. Bloomberg Opinion Editor Ed Evans joining us from our London Bureau. Thanks. You could read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion, Bloomberg.com/opinion, and the terminal by typing OPIN Go. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Law Brief, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The EPA said it won't approve products with labels that claim glyphosate is known to cause cancer, rejecting California's decision to require warning labels on the popular weed killer. Delta Airlines is suing tech vendor 24/7 for a 2017 data breach that may have compromised the personal and payment information of up to 825,000 of the airline's customers. The company managed the chat function on the airline's website. And work safety advocates say an immigration raid and arrest of 680 people at food processing plants across Mississippi could increase safety hazards in the poultry plants.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thanks. Now, other legal news we're watching this morning. Pornography producers and sellers account for the lion's share of copyright infringement lawsuits in the U.S. In fact, judges may have seen enough. The courts are cracking down on porn sellers that file thousands of lawsuits against people for downloading and trading racy films on home computers. Bloomberg's June Grosso talked about this with Bloomberg News patent reporter Susan Decker.
Sue, describe the scheme that one judge called a high-tech shakedown.
Well, it's a common scheme that's used actually by a lot of movie makers, but nobody does it at quite the level of these two porn producers. What they do is they file what's known as a John Doe lawsuit against an internet protocol address, and then they ask the judge, give us an order that we can go to the ISP providers and say, give us the identity of this person who's using this IP address. They then go to the person and they say, well, you know, it's $150,000 per infringement of a movie. You downloaded X number. How about you give us $2,000, $3,000, and we won't change the lawsuit to put your name on it and publicly let everyone know in the world that you were downloading porn.
Their business model is actually litigation rather than the films?
No, they all have legitimate websites, and their argument is that this is the only way that they can see under the current scheme to deal with piracy. But it's interesting that the other porn companies, who are also having the same problem of people swapping movies, aren't going through this rather extreme method of kind of shaming their customers.
Some judges, as you mentioned in your story, are finding that the tactics are objectionable. A D.C. federal judge, Royce Lambert, says one of the companies, Strike 3, quote, treats this court not as a citadel of justice, but as an ATM. What was his specific problem with that?
His problem is that there's a concern about the idea that even though a vast majority of Americans watch porn, there's still a stigma to it, and that they're capitalizing on it. They're filing literally thousands upon thousands of lawsuits with the idea that they're going to shame people into a settlement. And the judge is like, well, there's other ways of doing this. I'm not sure that linking an IP address to an individual is enough to say this is the person who's engaged in this piracy. I think you need to do more than that, and I'm not going to let you take part in this.
That was Bloomberg News patent reporter Susan Decker speaking with June Grosso. You can listen to more legal news and analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at noon, Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures pointing lower this morning. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 131. NASDAQ futures down 61 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.69%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing stocks lower as we close out this volatile trading week. S&P futures down almost 0.5%. Yesterday, the S&P 500 posted its biggest advance in 2 months, erasing its loss for the week.
Now, the weakness today is being blamed once again on U.S.-China trade concerns. Bloomberg News is reporting the White House is holding off on licensing decisions for American companies to restart business with Huawei Technologies. As Bloomberg's Ian King explains, access to the Chinese market is crucial to the fortunes of many tech companies.
The longer this drags on, the worse things get. The theory is the more that the Chinese companies will start to look for alternative suppliers for what they get from the U.S.
Ian, thanks. Inflation in China moved in two different directions during July. Consumer prices rose while factory prices tumbled. Let's get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner.
Nathan and John, these readings underscore the challenge for the PBOC if it wants to boost policy stimulus. The consumer price index gained 2.8% year over year, largely because of higher food prices, especially pork. However, wholesale inflation declined for the first time in 3 years, driving prices into deflation. This further dimmed the outlook for manufacturers' profits. The index of factory prices fell 0.3% year on year. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. In Europe, the UK economy shrank for the first time in more than 6 years in the second quarter. Gross domestic product fell 0.2%, following a solid 0.5% advance in the previous 3 months.
Italy's sovereign bonds are tumbling in price as the government coalition teeters. The Prime Minister, Giuseppe Conte, signaled he won't leave office without a fight as his deputy, Matteo Salvini, tries to bring down the government and force a snap election.
Shares of Uber are down more than 7% in early trading. The ride-hailing company reported second-quarter adjusted sales that fell short of estimates and posted a net loss of almost $5.25 billion.
And buyer shares up 5%. Bloomberg News has learned the company is proposing to pay as much as $8 billion to settle more than 18,000 U.S. lawsuits alleging its Roundup herbicide causes cancer.
As far as the broader market, it is risk-off this morning with S&P futures down 14.5 points. Dow futures down 111, NASDAQ futures down 54 points, 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 1.70%, the 2-year at 1.60%, a 10 basis point spread there. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4%, $52.77 a barrel, the euro at 1.1204 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time for news from around the world, and we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. There could be some movement on gun legislation when the Senate returns from recess. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer say President Donald Trump has assured them that he would look at a gun measure. And now Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says legislation to look at expanded background checks and so-called red flag laws to keep firearms out of the hands of dangerous individuals will be at the top of the agenda when senators return from their August break. McConnell has opposed most gun control legislation in the past and says he and the president now have spoken and he's going to go ahead with it. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Just days after the mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, police in Missouri say they arrested a man who showed up wearing body armor and was heavily armed at a Walmart in Springfield. Lieutenant Mike Lucas of the Springfield Police says the man carrying a tactical rifle was quickly spotted and detained by an off-duty firefighter until police arrived.
I don't know how many 911 calls we got from inside the building or on the outside, but when SPD arrived here, there were a lot of people hiding outside.
Fortunately, not a shot was fired. Popular gyms Equinox and SoulCycle are still dealing with customer backlash after reports their shared owner is hosting a fundraiser for President Trump. That fundraiser is said to be today in the Hamptons. Both companies responded to calls of boycotts, describing owner Stephen Ross as a passive investor. The companies say they have nothing to do with the event and do not support it. Joseph McGuire, the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, has been named by President Trump to take over as interim director of national intelligence when Dan Coats leaves next week. Trump's tweet came shortly after he announced that Sue Gorton, the deputy director of national intelligence, will resign this month along with her boss, Coates. Defense Secretary Mark Esper met his South Korean counterpart today after arriving in South Korea for a two-day trip to Seoul. During their meeting, Esper stressed denuclearization of North Korea.
As President Trump has made clear, the United States is willing to engage diplomatically with North Korea to make progress on all commitments made in the Singapore joint statement to achieve those ends.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, Yankee surprises on display last night in Toronto. Domingo Germán, another win, went into the season with a 2-7 Yankee record. He's 15-2. Mike Tauchman, another home run, came to the Yanks from Colorado, where he spent parts of two seasons hitting 153 without any homers. Gio Urshela, two home runs for the second straight night. He had been a bit player in Cleveland and Toronto. Yanks won their ninth in a row, 12-6, and Aaron Boone was asked about Tauchman and Urshela, who have combined to drive in almost 100 runs.
They've been impact players for us, and, you know, they do it on both sides of the ball. You know, it's come in a lot of big situations. I mean, I don't know how many more ways we can describe it. They've worked hard at getting better at their craft. They've done a good job of having a plan going into the game, and they're going out and executing, and you can see it in the confidence that they're displaying in their game at this level now.
Mets winners of 13 of 14 were off. New Met Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight at Citi Field against Washington. At MetLife, the annual Jet Giant preseason game, a couple of weeks earlier than usual, there was an hour delay during the first half due to bad weather. Giants won 31-22. The story was their rookie quarterback Daniel Jones came in early for Eli Manning and in his one drive went 5-for-5, 67 yards and a touchdown for Coach Pat Shurmur.
I mean, there wasn't any incompletions, you know. I mean you got to say it's a pretty good job, you know. He's been checking off the boxes as we went along, and it seems to be surprising to people outside our building. It's not to us.
The question now is not if, but when does Shurmur have Jones supplant Manning as a starting QB? Troy Merritt off of 62 leads Dustin Johnson by one. Second round today, Northern Trust Golf in Jersey City. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. After that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. The wave of luxury development in Brooklyn has hit Crown Heights. 111 Montgomery is 12 stories high. It'll contain 163 units, most of which will have one or two bedrooms. New York Times says the building was topped out over the winter. A sales gallery is now open on Franklin Avenue. Beginning in October, a new law goes into effect for most real estate closings in Connecticut. It says no one can conduct a covered closing unless that person is a licensed attorney who has not been disqualified from the practice of law. A New Jersey family plagued by a stalker's spooky letters mailed to their $1.4 million dream home in Westfield has sold the six-bedroom Watcher House at a loss. Derek and Maria Brontis bought the 1905 Dutch Colonial in June 2014 and never moved in. They sold it to a couple for about $960,000. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The International Energy Agency said the outlook for global oil demand is fragile.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're looking at quarterly results from troubled utility PG&E.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a shrinking UK economy as Brexit uncertainty and a global slowdown weighed in the second quarter.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, cow hides pile up and price plummet as consumers gobble up more beef but turn away from leather.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Facebook faces a lawsuit accusing it of gathering and storing biometric data without consent.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. 5:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Legal analysts say new bankruptcy protections for small businesses that clear the Senate August 1st are steps in the right direction, but could be more muscular. Bruce Markle, a bankruptcy law professor at Northwestern's Pritzker School of Law, tells Bloomberg, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a really bad cut. It's going to do a little to help, and it addresses the problem, but it's not enough. The Small Business Reorganization Act would amend Chapter 11 to streamline the bankruptcy process for businesses with less than $2.7 million in debt. But Markle and others say this debt limit is too low to be widely effective. The bill is part of a package that previously passed the House in late July, and they're ready for President Trump's signature. And Chapter 11, truth is, it doesn't take a business of much size to run up about $2.7 million in debt. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have futures indicating a lower open. The Dow futures down 115, S&P futures 15 points lower, and the NASDAQ futures down 56 points. You're listening to Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. European shares are falling with U.S. equity futures. Asian stocks were mixed as positive sentiment from a strong day on Wall Street was offset by resurfacing trade tensions. Italy's sovereign bonds are tumbling as the government coalition there teeters. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 11 points now. Dow futures down 80. NASDAQ futures down 45 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.5%. The CAC in Paris down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 1.71%. 2-year 1.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5%, up 27 cents, $52.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25%, up $4. 15.1350 the troy ounce. The euro 1.1199 against the dollar. The yen 105.89. At 8:30 Wall Street time, we get the producer price index. It's followed by the Baker Hughes rig count at 1 o'clock this afternoon. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Good morning to you. There's no deal to bring senators back from recess early. That word from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in response to growing pressure to take action on stalled gun bills. McConnell says when they do return from recess, background checks and red flags will probably lead the discussion. President Trump has picked the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, Joseph McGuire, to take over as acting director of national intelligence. Dan Coats leaves the post next week. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Red Sox and Giants. In NFL preseason action, the Giants beat the Jets. Winners, the Patriots and Ravens. The Redskins lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the U.S. holding off on easing Huawei restrictions. The U.K. economy posts its first quarterly contraction since 2012. And Italy's sovereign bonds and stocks tumble as the government coalition there teeters. Well, take your pick. Let's spin the wheel and see which disaster du jour we're going to talk about. Simon French is the chief economist at Panmure Gordon. Well, I guess you're in London, so let's go with, as we hurtle towards Brexit, the economy there contracting. How big of a worry is it for you?
Good morning, John. Look, it's a concern because this is the first contraction in quarterly output in the UK economy since 2012. It has to be said that quite a few of the factors that contributed to this are temporary. There is the build-up of stockpiling that took place, inventory build in the first quarter that unwound in the second quarter. And then as part of the preparations to leave the European Union, some of the timing of automobile factory shutdowns was brought forward into the second quarter that normally takes place in the third quarter. So it's perhaps overstating the underlying weakness of the UK economy, but there now is a risk that we have face a technical recession if growth remains weak in the third quarter. And there is a bit of a very difficult situation for traders who are bullish on the pound. The pound we've seen now move to close to 120 against the US dollar, and gilt yields have also moved lower on this news.
Yeah, the pound down 0.2% against the greenback. Does this change the calculus for Boris Johnson?
No, it doesn't. The calculus for Boris has always been that he wants to make a credible threat of leaving under no deal on the 31st of October, and is hoping that fairly bullish stance will yield concessions from the European Union. I'm not sure that growth rates are going to materially alter the strategy. One of the things it will do, however, is introduce additional caution into private sector investment prospects for the rest of the year and some of the consumer caution. And one of the things we have seen in the UK is the savings ratio has been drawn down to less than 5% over the last couple of years. That means householders haven't got much spare spending that they can introduce if the economy hits a rocky patch. And that is a real problem for the growth outlook going forward.
All right, let's head to the southern part of the continent now. I guess the good news is if you're looking for sovereign yield, you can always go to Italy, right?
Oh, you can. BTP suddenly offering yields that are not available in other developed markets. Look, this was always a difficult political situation in Italy. Just a reminder for your listeners, there's currently a government of a coalition of the Five Star and the League group who were two fiercely opposed political parties ahead of elections a couple of years ago, but actually came together under coalition, which has always been a bit of a mystery how that was going to go full term. And one of the things we're now seeing is with the boost in popular support for the League, their leader, the Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini, is now saying, look, we want a vote of no confidence, we want fresh elections, because he thinks he can win a majority and can govern in his image rather than having to make compromises with the Five Star movement.
In this less than linear conversation, let's switch back to the U.S. here. As far as the trade tensions go, can you game for me the possibility of a recession here?
Oh, I think the chance of a recession is based on the current announced policies regarding tariffs are fairly limited in the US, but it is whether you draw a straight line to non-tariff barriers and a further ramp up from 10% to 25% on the additional $300 billion of Chinese imports. In that scenario, a recession becomes a much more probable scenario, and therein is the delta for investors to try and calculate.
The claims number, the jobless claims numbers, there's some bang-up numbers. You can't really, I don't see how you can have a recession when you got a jobs market like this.
You're absolutely right, John. What you find is in previous Fed hiking cycles, the average non-farm payrolls jobs added goes down to 80,000 before the Fed starts to cut. Similarly, based on my research, it's 9 months after the U.S. Unemployment rate starts to tick up that the Fed starts to cut. So those are normally the conditions when the Federal Reserve thinks there's a recession looming or a slowdown looming and they want to cut policy. They've gone very, very early, but I think the jobs data certainly suggests that there wasn't really a case of averting a recession, but more trying to sort of appease what is going on in the White House at the moment.
Well, what's your guys' call for further rate cuts this year? I've got a few seconds left.
Yeah, I just have 25 more basis points because I think, like you, the jobs data doesn't support anything more significant, and there may be some inflation in the pipeline that the Fed needs to be aware of.
Simon, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Simon French, the chief economist, Panmure Gordon, coming to us from London this morning. And as we look at those sovereigns in Italy right now, the yield now 179 as the bonds and stocks there plunge. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. As we head for the cash open in the U.S., the futures right now point to a lower open. The Dow futures down 89 points. The S&P futures, they're 12 points lower. The Nasdaq E-mini futures down 46 points. This is Bloomberg. All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Time for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. It looks as if there could be movement on gun legislation when the Senate returns. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Background checks and red flags would probably lead the discussion, but a lot of other things will come up as well. But what we can't do is fail to pass something.
McConnell says, though, there is no deal to bring senators back early from recess. Ohio Congressman and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Tim Ryan led a caravan of gun reform activists to a rally in Louisville, Kentucky, McConnell's hometown.
This is not a Republican or Democrat issue. The two bills sitting in the Senate right now have almost 80% of the support of the American people, over 70% of the support from hunters and sportsmen. So this is something that we should easily be able to get done.
Ryan says they are asking McConnell to do his job and vote on gun reform House bills that have stalled in the Senate. Police in Springfield, Missouri say a man wearing fatigues and body armor walked into a local Walmart with 100 rounds of ammunition. He didn't fire off a shot, but he caused a scare. According to authorities, an off-duty firefighter apprehended the man before police arrived. Springfield Police Lieutenant Mike Lucas says the man's goal was to create chaos.
His intent was not to cause peace or comfort to anybody that was in the business here. In fact, he's lucky he's alive still, to be honest.
It comes just days after a mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, that left 22 people dead at a Walmart. President Trump says Joseph McGuire, head of the National Counterterrorism Center, will take over as acting director of national intelligence when Dan Coats leaves the post next week. Hong Kong's airport is bolstering security in anticipation of a three-day sit-in protest at the arrivals hall of its main terminal. Bloomberg's Karen Lee in Hong Kong reports it comes days after dozens of flights were canceled during a citywide strike.
Only departing passengers with tickets or boarding passes and valid travel documents will be allowed to enter the check-in area until Sunday night, and security personnel have been deployed to assist passengers and airport staff. It's the second time in a week that protesters have targeted Hong Kong's transport infrastructure after disruptions to Monday's rush hour commute. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, it was only a preseason game, but it was Giants fans' first look in game action at Daniel Jones, their quarterback of the future, if not the present. The rookie was impressive.
Jones again with time, corner of the end zone, completes it. Did Fowler get his feet in? Yes, touchdown, Giants.
Ball placement. Make a note of it, folks. This kid is putting the ball where only his receiver can get it.
Ex-Giant Carl Banks last night on Channel 4. Jones, 5 for 5, 67 yards on the TD, and he wasn't satisfied.
I don't know. There's a couple things I messed up there in first couple plays, but when you're playing with good players, it helps. So, we found a way to make it work, and I thought it went well. It was good to move the ball and execute it.
Jets 31-22 on a night that included an hour weather delay. Sam Darnold led the Jets down the field through a TD pass before he took a seat. Eli Manning completed his only pass for 2 yards before Jones replaced him. In a game that did count in the standings, a ninth win in a row for the Yankees. 12-6 in Toronto. Gio Urshela, who homered twice Wednesday in Baltimore, homered twice again. Both of the men on the other Yankee revelation. Mike Tauchman also hit another homer. Yanks were up 8-0 early. Domingo Germán improved to 15-2. Red Hot Mets were off. Big series starting tonight at Citi Field with Washington, who leads the NL Wild Card chase. Second round, Northern Trust Golf today in Jersey City. Troy Merritt off a 62 leads Dustin Johnson by one shot. Tiger Woods went off early, played half his round before they let the fans in, and Tiger shot 75. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And please join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. He's an investor, entrepreneur, and philanthropist who bought the city tennis tournament in Washington, D.C. You're going to speak with private equity mover and shaker Mark Ein. That's tonight at 8 on Bloomberg 1130 and via podcast on iTunes. This is Bloomberg. Well, plenty of uncertainty out there. What's the economic outlook? We're going to speak to Simon French at Panmure Gordon. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks slide as trade tensions resurface involving Huawei.
The UK economy posts its first quarterly contraction since 2012.
Italy's sovereign bonds and stocks tumble as the government coalition teeters.
And Uber shares plunge following a $5 billion loss.
It looks as if there could be movement on gun legislation when the Senate returns. Plus, the president named his choice for interim intel chief. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankees won in Toronto, made it 9 wins in a row. Preseason football, the Giants beat the Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks moving lower on resurfaced trade tensions. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 50 points. DAX in Germany down 0.6%, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 1.70%. 2-year Treasuries 1.59% yield. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5%, up 26 cents, $52.79 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $4.70 at $15.14.30 an ounce. The euro at 1.1197 against the dollar. The yen 105.90. John.
And we begin with the continued trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Some 50 businesses are still waiting for the Commerce Department to sign off on their request to resume doing business with Huawei. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris has the latest from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
John and Nathan, sources tell Bloomberg News the White House is putting off a decision about licenses allowing U.S. companies to restart business with Huawei. While Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says the decision on those requests is pending, Beijing says it'll stop buying those agriculture products from the U.S. China stopped those purchases after President Trump threatened a new 10% tariff on $300 billion of Chinese imports and formally labeled China a currency manipulator. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
Amy, thank you. So what is China's response? Let's continue our global team coverage now with Bloomberg News Bureau Chief Sharon Chen in Beijing.
Nathan and John, so right now there's no official reaction out of Beijing. Faxes to the Ministry of Commerce and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs weren't answered, and Huawei declined to comment. But it's not unexpected that this happened. After all, the original idea was that the licenses would be used to push Beijing into making those agricultural purchases that Trump has bragged about. And Beijing's already said that that's not going to happen after Trump threatened to tariff more of its products. So it makes sense that the U.S. is holding back on those licenses until there's more clarity. In Beijing, I'm Sharon Chen, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sharon, thanks. The news involving Huawei helped send stocks in China lower. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Sentiment in China was also dented by weak factory floor data, with producer prices falling 0.3% year-on-year in July, the first contraction in 3 years. However, consumer prices rose 2.8% year-on-year, driven by a surge in food prices, particularly pork. Japanese stocks were higher as second quarter GDP was a beat, the Nikkei 225 rising 14%. tenths of 1% to 20,684 points in Tokyo. In Sydney, the ASX 200 was up a third of 1%. However, Australia's benchmark shed 2.7% over the last 5 days, posting its worst week since November amid the escalating trade tensions. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In Europe, Italy's sovereign bonds and stocks are tumbling as the government coalition there is teetering. Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte signaling he won't leave office without a fight. His deputy, Matteo Salvini, is trying to bring down the country's populist coalition and force a snap election.
The UK economy has posted its first quarterly contraction in more than 6 years. Let's go live to London now, get the very latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. The worst quarter since 2012. The United Kingdom's GDP shrank 0.2% between April and June. Economists had expected output to be unchanged. In a blow to new Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the UK saw an abrupt loss of momentum after 0.5% growth in the first quarter. That was as many companies ran down inventories built up ahead of the original March Brexit deadline. Manufacturing, which enjoyed a bumper first quarter, shrank 2.3%, the worst performance since 2009. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Here in the U.S., we get a reading on July inflation this morning. Economists say the producer price index probably rose 0.2% last month. That would be the largest increase in 3 months, Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The strong dollar is keeping a lid on things, but there's evidence U.S. inflation is poised to creep higher. Hershey last month confirmed it's raising wholesale chocolate prices by about 10%. McDonald's, meantime, anticipates protein costs will push global commodity prices higher. U.S. labor costs are also on the rise amid low unemployment and a shortage of qualified workers. Vinny Dell, Judas Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. We're also following shares of Uber this morning. They're down 8% following the company's earnings report. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Uber's second quarter adjusted sales fell short of estimates, and it posted a $5.24 billion net loss. Now, most of that was attributed to stock-based compensation associated with the initial public offering. Uber generated $2.87 billion in adjusted revenue for the second quarter, a 12% increase from a year earlier, and below the $3.05 billion that analysts had expected for the quarter. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Buyer shares are up almost 5%. Now, Bloomberg News has learned the company is proposing to pay as much as $8 billion to settle more than 18,000 U.S. lawsuits alleging its Roundup herbicide causes cancer. Buyer shares have fallen more than a third since its $63 billion acquisition of the weed killer's maker, Monsanto.
In Malaysia, criminal charges have been filed against 17 current or former Goldman Sachs employees in the one MDB scandal. The government has accused Goldman of misleading investors when it arranged $6.5 billion of bond sales for the state investment fund. Goldman says the charges are misdirected.
And it's official. Broadcom is making a deal that will add software designed to keep hackers out of corporate systems. Chipmaker is spending $10.7 billion to buy Symantec's division that serves business customers. The agreement comes less than a month after the two companies' talks for a full merger fell apart. Futures pointed lower this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.